Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to give everyone just a second to get there. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations. From the day I spoke to you, the day of Josiah until today. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin.
I trust you followed with him there. If you are still finding it, Jeremiah chapter 36, and it's a interesting chapter indeed, and one that I hope will spur our own thinking about a few things, particularly in relation to the Word of God. If you picked that up in the theme of the songs this morning, as we think about God's holy Word and how we respond to it. Before we go any further, though, we will go to the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you now for your word. Father, we often speak of it as your love letter to mankind and our instruction for living and these sorts of things. And yet, oh Father, often we fail reverence or the consideration that we should, and often try to go after our own ways. Father, we pray that as we think about your word to us and what it means to us, Father, may that sink in our hearts, that we would seek from its golden pages your wisdom and your will for us in our lives, whether young or old, whatever our station in life, wherever we are, Father, that we might recognize that your word is hadn't set the stage for us. You see there in verse 1, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. Now, to give you the picture, the timeline, if you will, to remember, so we've talked about Jeremiah from the beginning. He's not necessarily linear in the way we pass through his book. Things move around a little bit until it finally settles in, as it will, I think, with the next chapter and goes to the end of the book. Remember, if you will, that the last good king of Israel was a man named Josiah. His grandfather had been Hezekiah, who was the last good king before him. Hezekiah had a son who was wicked. His name was Manasseh. Manasseh had a son who was wickeder still, I suppose, because God, after putting up with 60 years of Manasseh, didn't put up with but 2 years of Ammon. And then Josiah comes to the throne as an 8-year-old boy. So he's the king of Judah, 31 years. Well, about 13 years into that 31 years, God calls Jeremiah. Josiah is about 21 years old or so, and Jeremiah comes on the scene. And then Jeremiah preaches through Josiah, and then Josiah's his reign for like 90 days, whose name escapes me at the moment. And then there's Jehoiakim, who's another son, and then another short-termer, and then it finally ends with Zedekiah. So Jeremiah preaches through 5 kings all the way up to the captivity. And this is the primary theme of his ministry, is that if you don't turn, if you don't repent, you're going to go into captivity, just like the northern kingdom has already done. God had promised, God had told them they would, and the 10 nations that made up the northern kingdom had already gone into captivity, and now it's just Judah and Benjamin, the 2 tribes that are left, then this small kingdom, and it seemed the mindset was, well, we got the temple and we got Jerusalem, and God's not gonna Jehoiakim's reign. So now at this point that we're reading, as we see here at the fourth year of Jehoiakim, teaching for about 22 years. And he's been beating the same drum. Repent, repent. A roll of a book, verse 2 says, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto you against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto today. So here's our first record, as far as I can recall, of God giving instruction for the writing down of this prophetic book. And so Jeremiah is having it put on paper that he has been preaching for 22 years are going to be recorded in, boy, God's hard-nosed. I mean, he's had Jeremiah preaching this and preaching this and preaching this, and there's been all sorts of illustrations, all sorts of controversy. You know, if you're in Israel, if you're in Judah, you're like, okay, well, where's the captivity coming? You know, when's it happening? Well, already it had been happening to some degree. Jehoiakim's brother had been taken off after 90 days of reigning, and Nebuchadnezzar had set Jehoiakim on the throne at 25 years old, very heady thing for a young man. And so it is. And you know, sometimes people get tired of hearing it. It wearies them, you know. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Tell me something happy. Tell me something good. Tell me something pleasing. I'm so tired of hearing that something bad is going to happen, that judgment is going to come. I'll keep beating that drum. Verse 3, Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Open this passage, keep in mind, and I'm a simple guy, three-point outline guy. God prepares his word, or the word of God is consistent in his purposes. Sin and rebellion will result in judgment. However, there is forgiveness for the heart that repents of its evil. For us today, doesn't it? Mankind is under the severest of judgments. Are condemned already. All have sinned and come short of the glory of sinneth. We read in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's God's rule. That's what a holy God says. And he doesn't bend the rule. Because, you know, I like Americans better. It's been the rule because, well, these well-to-do folks, I mean, they give a lot, you know, they poorly, but they donate a lot. And, you know, maybe I could like them a little better. God is fair. What was the thing that they accused the Lord Jesus of? And I say it like that. They accused him of. They would say, we know that you don't favor anybody above anybody else. That's a good thing for you to know. They said it in an accusatory way. But in fact, they were saying the absolute truth. God sees us all the same. So whether you're a high dollar executive in a tall glass structure, or you're a homeless person camped on the street in front of that tall glass structure, the Lord Jesus died for all, such that he sent his son. People today desperately need a Savior who can satisfy the righteous judgment of God against our sin. And of course, the Lord Jesus instructed to bring this word. We're going to virtually read the whole chapter, or at least roll through it fairly quickly, because it need a little bit of all of it as we go along. You know, sometimes we can take out a snippet or two, but with me, if you will, and we'll see what happens. Verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Now, so it is like, it does like the Apostle Paul would do 600-700 years later. He has what the heady people call an amanuensis. There, that's my big word for the day. Amanuensis. He has somebody to write it down. Jeremiah dictates. And Baruch writes it. Says, this is what we're doing. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, verse 5, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Now, we don't know why exactly. He's not imprisoned here. But for some reason, there's Jeremiah can't go. Maybe he's too much of a distraction. Maybe there's too much of animosity toward him. He says, I can't go. But you're going to go. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be, same as what God has said, it may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. We think, wow, God's really hard. He's going to send them into captivity. Let me tell you, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, hell looms before you. That's a lot worse than just going off for 70 years. See, there's just sin, but God has provided a Savior in the Lord Jesus. So Baruch has this instruction, and so he does so. We find at a certain time, Baruch the son of Neriah, verse 8, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And the old preacher A.B. Gibbs says the best book in the best place. He's going to read the word of God in the house of the Lord. Well, verse 9 says, it came to pass in the fifth year and the ninth month of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Now, I said, God has prepared his word. This is a year. Write this down. And when we're done, when they call a fast, that's when you're going to read this word. Now, evidently a called fast is not something that's in the normal order of things of the Jewish calendar. And not been announced when Jeremiah wrote it down, but God had revealed to him this is going to happen. And when it does, that's going to be the time to read this ministry that's written down. And sure enough, there's a called fast. Now, through the rest of the chapter here, we're going to see some things. And so I'm trying to just remember, we have a nation that is supposed to be God's chosen people. They'd had a good king in Jehoiakim's father, Josiah. There are faithful people that are there, like Jeremiah, even though the vast majority seem to be far from the Lord. And I'm inclined to think that this called fast was like an effort to revive the faith of the people. That there is a certain faction that's thinking, you know, if we can get people to recognize and understand our danger before a holy God, or how we need to appeal to the Lord, maybe we can get it going, you know. Maybe we can get something started here. We don't know. I'm just speculating with this. Seems to be some receptivity of heart as we go into this chapter here. So it is fast, and so in verse 10, Baruch does his assignment that he was given a year or so before. Then read Baruch in verse 10 in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord and the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. I know you're thinking, oh no, we're going to hit these names, and I will skip most of them, okay? But remember this guy. Remember Gemariah and remember his father, Shaphan, okay? In the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. So he's in Gemaria's chamber, whatever that was like in the temple. Verse 11, the son of Gemaria, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord. Now, my gut on this is this is a young man. Heart seems to be tender toward the things of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you, the older we get, the less tender we are about a lot of things. It's like we get old and don't bother us anymore. Oh, it's a 40-car accident on the interstate? Too bad. You know what I mean? Yeah, I've heard of that before. They've had those before. Unless it affects me, okay. Yeah. Good thing to be tender about God's word. Good thing to be for the word of God to be able to penetrate easily into our minds and into our hearts. And I think that's exactly what has happened with Micaiah here, Gemaria's son. So what's he do? Then he went down into the king's house. So he's left from the temple grounds, and he's gone to the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. Well, there's a place in the king's house for people like his dad and his granddad. And lo, all the princes sat there. So there are people of noble birth. Even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and his dad, Gemaiah son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Even whoever wrote this got tired of listening names. And then Micaiah, this young man whose heart is pierced by the word of God, declares unto them all the words that he'd heard when Barak read the book in the ears of the people. What does that tell me? Not only was he affected by the word of God, he's paying attention to the word of God. We can do that. We can do that. And I'll tell you, that's really good too. You know, so there's parts of the Bible we really like to hear. They ring through to us real easy. Psalm 23, right? The Gospel of John. Any of the historical books. We can read about David and Goliath. We can read about Daniel in the lion's den. We can read these things, and they excite us and they interest us, and we follow. We read Jeremiah, and we're like, man, that's tough reading. Read. And it pierced his heart. Scribes, and he finds his dad, and he finds his other men who are of like mind and whatnot, and he tells them, this is what Barak's reading. We call the fast because we want to see people brought back to God, and God has sent his word from Jeremiah, and it's written on a scroll, and he's reading it. Wow. How did God time that so perfectly? They said, well, get him here. So they go get him. Verse 14, all the princes sent Jehudi. Glad you didn't name your kid that. The son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Barak, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Barak comes. And they say to him, verse 15, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Barak reads it in their ears. And they heard it. It came to pass, verse 16, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Barak, we will surely tell the king all these words. And they want to know, well, how did you get this? And Barak says, well, you know, Jeremiah dictated it to me. And he says, look, verse 19, go hide, you and Jeremiah, and don't let any man know where you are. Now they're preparing for something. Scroll in the chamber in Elishama's chamber, Elishama the scribe, but they came and told the king what has been said. Now, about this is being repeated and repeated up to the sixth presentation of it, actually, as they give it to the king and tell him what it says. Wow. First to Jeremiah, Jeremiah speaks to Barak. Barak speaks to people as he reads it to them. And it affects their, we don't know how it affected others, but we know how it affected Micaiah. So much so that he wants others to hear what's being said too. And so now it's been read to these principal men and scribes. And now they're taking it to the king. What was prepared for them is being presented, right, from the time they read it. And now it's before math on there earlier, right? Read over in 2 Chronicles 34 that when Josiah was in the 18th year of his reign. Now, from 8 years old, he's been guided and led, and then he's taken more authority and responsibility. And as an adult, he came in and he said, you know, all these idols, all this stuff, this cannot please God. We've got to get rid of it. And he set out on a program of eliminating idolatrous worship as best he could. And hard to change people's outside appearance. He could tear down the groves. He could tear down the idols. And he set his heart to please the Lord as best he knew how. Why do you say that? Because he was in his 18th year on the throne. He's 26 years old, give or take. He sent men to repair the temple. Now he's dealt with the land. Now we're going to address the temple that lays in like a haunted house. It's just been unused, unprepared, unsanctified, if you will. And he sends men in. And one of the men that goes is the scribe Shaphan, Micaiah's grand. Like I say, we can read it in 2 Chronicles 34. Temple in a jar of one of these tall jars, whatever, they find a scroll. Hey, look at this. Look what we found. We found a scroll from God. Well, let's read it. Let's see what it says. I've been preaching about 5 years up to this point, by the way. So he's in the fifth year of his ministry. They read the scroll to Josiah. It says he tore his clothes, royal robes. He hung his head. He said, we're doomed, guys. God has promised to judge us, and we have rejected his word and his ways. I was overwhelmed. He said, we've already brought God's judgment on us. But God said, because your heart was tender, Josiah, what did that do? Oh, I'm off the hook. No, it preserved the nation because of godly Josiah. All those years, as long as he lived, that judgment would not fall. It's what one godly minded person can do. Big Sodom and Gomorrah were. But if there had been 10 righteous people there, God wouldn't have destroyed it. You know, what influence do I have in my school or in my work, my neighborhood, my social club? I mean, I'm just one Christian. I'm just one person who loves the Lord. I pass out a few tracts to the people at the drive-up window, you know, or track on, you know, what good am I doing? You don't know. You don't know. All those years of Josiah's reign, Josiah died. Tented, and God saw his heart was tender to him. That was the fifth year of Jeremiah's ministry. Now we're in the fifth year of Jehoiakim's reign. Remember, it's the fifth year, ninth month, as we read. And Jehoiakim's about 30 years old. With a scroll, they go back, they preach the word to him. They tell him what is being said. And he says, hey, go get that book. Go get it. Bring it here. Verse 21, so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now you remember Josiah's response. He saw how God was offended by their actions in his day. How will it 22 set in the winter house in the ninth month? Their ninth month corresponds about to our, about to December, January. And there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments. Neither the king nor any of his servants had heard all these words. Now there was some protesting. Verse 25 tells us, nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king. He would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. And then the king commanded these men whose names are listed here to go get Jeremiah. That says the Lord hid him. Safer place than when the Lord hides you. Your Psalms, we read these words in the King James English, the fool has said in his heart. Read it, you'll note the words there is are in italics. That means they're understood in the text. At least it's there to help us in our reading. But if we took it very strictly in our translation, it would be the fool has said in his heart, no God. So the word of God with contempt, to say it mildly, right? When you burn the scriptures, what are you saying? You're making a statement. You didn't just throw it in the trash bin. You see people burning Bibles, they're making a statement. Have this, and we won't have anyone else have it. Do they do that today? They did it last year in Portland. Look it up. Verse 27, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, God's telling him, take another one. We're going to do it again. And write all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king had burned. And they passed a little judgment on Jehoiakim here, by the way. Thus, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you burned this roll, saying, he didn't like God's judgment. He says, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus says the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he'll have none sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body will be cast out in the day to the heat and night to the frost. There won't be any royal burial. Is that God being spiteful? No, it's God giving a little prophetic word. Everybody would have thought the king would go down with a royal setting. Every president we've had, whether we liked them or not, if they die, man, you know, it's a big entourage, you know? God says, here's how you'll know my word. This fellow who's warming himself by the fire in the winter house, when he's gone, his carcass will be laying out in the field. And you'll see my word fulfilled. And that's how he regards my word. Well, that's how I regard Jehoiakim. And he won't have an heir sit upon the throne. His seed and his servants for their iniquity. Verse 31. And I will bring upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I pronounced against them. But there were many more words added to that first book. The second edition. Time that God's word has been committed to being written. The enemy has sought to stamp out the living word of God, whether by burning it, banning it, dilution. How many translations can we get of it these days? How do you know which one's right? How do you know which is, you know, there's a version for everybody and a version, a kind of study guide for every, I mean, it's so split up. How do we know? What do we know? You can just get one tailored just for left-handed ball men. I can get one. I think they got one like that. Somebody publishes it because you get a copyright. You know, if you add a little something extra to it, can't copyright the King James, but you can copyright the other ones, right? It's dilution, though. Means the adversary who all the way back in Genesis would say, yeah, has God said that? He sought to undermine the confidence that we can have in this blessed book. One who is the truth himself came into this world. The enemy sought to destroy him too, but to no avail. Sin. Who will be honest and consider God has preserved his word and walk away from it. How God preserved the Jewish people and walk away from it. An honest examination of this. Rightly labeled a fool. I'm like correct, I'm sure, but they're a fool. The fool has said in his heart, no, God. Well, don't be a fool. It has been prepared just for you. Right today, what we're reading right today has been prepared for you from God's mind, from time immemorial, for you to read today right here and for it to pierce your heart like it pierced the heart of Micaiah, to make you fear, like it did his dad and the others that were with him. And for you to make a choice. Don't make a choice like Jehoiakim, the wrong choice. Will escape by their own contrivance. Salvation is offered. Take God at his word. And his word is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, thank you again for your word. We look at this attempt to what was offensive of your word, and we see it today. Many would part, and that part, and this part, and all gone. And can a finite man think that he could judge the word of the infinite God? Father, your word is a love letter to us. Even in the day of Jeremiah, where judgment is pronounced and doubt that it is certain to come, yet there was opportunity to repent. There was opportunity to save themselves and save their land and come into a right relationship with you. And Father, that's the same thing today. Father, wonder and doubt, and they never really give it any thought. And here is the book that you preserved for thousands of years. Here is a people that you have preserved for thousands of years, still unique, still identifiable, still your own, and you still have a promise to them that will be fulfilled. Father, let men be wise, let women be wise, let boys and girls be wise today to see that your word is true and we have a responsibility before a holy God and love in the offer of salvation. Through your own we pray. Guide and direct our thinking for the remainder of the day. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus.